I'll read tonight Psalm 19 and make some comments on it, and I hope that you'll get something out of this. I'm going to call this two books, because God reveals himself in two books, and he does both of them right here in Psalm 19. So I'm going to read this psalm, and I won't take real long. I'm going to time myself here where I won't go way over, because I tell you, I got so excited I could have preached for a couple of hours. But let's go ahead and Psalm. I'm going to read the whole Psalm first, Psalm 19. And you can see where it transitions and from the book of nature into the Word of God, the Bible itself. But God reveals himself in both books, of course, a lot more plainly in the Word of God. But this is a great, great Psalm. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit the ends of it, and there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them their great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I know a lot of y'all have memorized that, and some of you memorized part of it. It's a great psalm. Well, obviously, the first six verses, he's talking about God's revelation in nature. And that's more important than you might think. That's why we sang the song, and I'm kind of thank God may be here tonight, because I told Matt I wanted him to sing Who Flung the Stars Out into Space, and he just had his finger right in that song right there. So I said, Lord, I believe that's, I thank you, God, the service tonight. The first thing God wants us to know from our Bible, he's a creator, right? The first verse in the Bible, in the beginning, God made the heaven and the earth. That's so important. I believe that's one reason. In fact, that is the reason the devil attacks the doctrine of creation by evolution and things like that. So, and the reason why God wants us to think about him as a creator, I think there's at least two reasons. One of them, we glorify him. We give him the glory. Also, a great, great comfort. If anybody's that powerful, that wise, we can trust him. So if you read the Bible sometimes, keeping that in mind about creation, I did it one time. I read through the whole Bible just looking for creation, and just massive amounts of material pointing us to creation. So I just want to look at this and give you a few verses to go along with this. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. And that word firmament is just another idea for heavens. It's just another word. There are two kinds of firmaments in Scripture. One of them is the atmospheric heaven. One is what they call the astral heavens, or the sidereal heavens, which is the out in space, stuff like that. But this is I think, a synonymous, it's just a Hebrew parallelism, saying the same thing twice in a little bit different manner. And so let's think about that. We city folks don't do this enough. Andrew really doesn't have much excuse. He's out in the country where there's not a lot of street lights, and the stars show up a whole lot better out there. I recommend all of you sometimes take your children outside at night, go out yourself at night, and just look at the heavens and see how they do declare the glory of God and talk about that. That'd be a good thing to do. I want to recommend you do that. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Isn't that beautiful word, handiwork? And if you study astronomy a little bit, it's amazing. You know, God is leaving people without excuse. As time goes on, we know the end, God is revealing more and more, both in the macro world and in the micro world. There's been a revolution in astronomy, the Hubble telescope and stuff like that. So, and there's also a major revolution in the micro world, just like Stephen Meyer made that plain about they know a whole lot more about the cell now. Michael Behe did a lot of work. Michael Denton did a lot of work. And we know there's no such thing as a simple cell. It's incredibly complicated in the micro world and the macro world. But even before people had any kind of technology, it's inexcusable not to pot it, an all-wise and an all-benevolent God that created the heavens and the earth. So the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. There's no excuse for anybody not to believe in a creator God. Romans 1 makes that plain. I'm not going to go to Romans 1 right now. I usually do, but I won't. But he does say that it's plainly seen, and people are without excuse. So remember that. The next time you run across somebody like Richard Dawkins, who's a real smart-mouthed, aggressive atheist, he's without excuse, the Bible says that. That's what the Word of God says. I'm not saying that. The Word of God says that the things that God did are plainly seen. There's no excuse not to pot it. All-wise, not to know Jesus Christ now. That's got to be by revelation of the regeneration. But to know there is a creator, an all-wise creator, people without excuse. Day and today utter a speech, as we see the heavenly bodies doing what they do. And night and night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. All the universal. Their line is going out throughout all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath he, then he gives this one example, in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. He's really locking on the sun now and paying attention to it, because that's the main body in our solar system. It's the one the people worship the sun a lot because it's had such a tremendous influence on us, on its heat and the energy we get from the sun. And so people have attributed, they worship the creature more than the creator. But anyway, he's going to give a couple of verses here talking about the sun in poetic language. Their line has gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle of the sun, which that the sun is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth as he goes through his circuit of the day. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, the circuit to the ends of it. There's nothing hid from the heat thereof. So that's wonderful language, beautiful language. We love that language. And I'm going to read you a few more scriptures, and you might want to write these down, or I can give them to you later. And I've got to be brief about this, because I know we can't stay over time, but I'm going to give you some scriptures I hope you can read or think about and meditate on to help to, and I want to be awed by God again. You know, we sometimes forget how awesome it is to be such a creator God. We people who live in the city, we don't really, we got a lot of liabilities. I remember one time old Bill Cobby, one of the comedians said he thought that the world was made out of concrete. He lived in New York City, and that's all he ever saw. And I can see kind of what he's saying, right? We know better than that. But we don't really have the advantage of enjoying nature as people who live in rural areas. Let's look over in Psalm 8. Psalm 8. You remember the great story how Matthew Maury, the great oceanographer, discovered the currents of the ocean because he was sick one time, and his wife read him this psalm, and a light went off in his mind. He was in a position, because he worked for the Navy, to actually give ship captains instructions on how to put bottles in the water with instructions in there, and he could, and the other ship picking them up and him collecting them. And he is the one who discovered the Gulf Stream and things like that. Isn't that amazing? In our life, I'm not that old, don't think of it. But in our general time of history. And by the way, I have to say this. Doubly, Matthew Maury was a Confederate. He got a statue down in Nashville, so he's a good guy. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory in the above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, and we ought to do that, don't we? We ought to be considering the heavens, thinking about them. Nathan used that word, consider, Sunday night, told us how strong it was about consider our ways. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. That's where he gets that expression. They want him to make search for the currents, the different currents, the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name and all the earth. Isn't that great? So that, I want to kind of get refreshed on looking at nature. And that's God. That's the book number one. That's book number one. I'll read you a few more verses about that. We ought to be actually awed by nature. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. One of these is Nehemiah 9:6. These are great scriptures. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. I hope you can meditate on them. I want to meditate on them. And with your children, you still got kids at home, this is a good thing to do, real good thing to do. But you don't have to just have kids at home. Judy and I can do it. Okay, Nehemiah 9:6. This is a great doxology. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth, all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. And thou preservest them, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Isn't that beautiful? That's just beautiful. He's just worshiping God. And then one of my very, very favorites is over in Psalm chapter 33, verses 6 through 9. And I want to do what he says here at the end of this psalm, or this passage. This is Psalm 33, 6 through 9. By thy word, by the word of the Lord. Remember what we saw the other night on that video. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. All the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. I want to get a sense of awe back from God. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Isn't that amazing? So I want to stand in awe of the Lord. Sometimes I don't. I mean, I know I love the Lord, and I know you do too. But sometimes it's just kind of not on the front burner enough. I want to just be ooh and ah about God. I really what I want to do. Then look at Psalm 119. That's something else. All right. Now let's go to the second section. That was kind of short. I know that. But I hope it inspired you a little bit about a creation, the God's book of nature. And that's why I love that song, Who Flung the Star Out into Space. That's a very, very good song. I love that song. Now, let's go back to Psalm 19. We'll start in verse 7. And I'll read the psalm. And I guess, boy, I'll tell you, I got so happy the other day doing this. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit can write a book. All right, let's go. We'll just read all those verses. It won't take but a minute, 7 through the end, and then comment on them a little bit. Now, I'm going to say, first of all, there's about 6 expressions. They're synonymous. They're talking about the Word of God. That's what they're talking about. They have a little different angle. And we can spend a long time on this, but we won't. But you can see how full this is. And really, Psalm 19 is kind of a miniature of Psalm 119. You think about the longest book in the Bible, 176 verses in Psalm 119. Every verse is talking about the Word of God. Isn't that something? And Psalm starts out the Word of God. It starts out Psalm 1 talking about the Word of God. A lot of it is. So the Word of God is so important. It's so very important. So this is God's real book. The book of nature is a great book, but the Bible is a greater book by far. And so we need to have a reverence all for the scriptures also, and just a appreciation of the scriptures is what we ought to have. We've got to give us that. So these 6 expressions I'm going to read to you are different ways of describing the Word of God and what it does. It does a lot. So we won't go into that, but you could. Some of you people who have analytical minds ought to have a lot of fun analyzing this. It'd be a lot of fun to look up every one of these words about what they really mean, and then look at what it says they do. And you could have a whole death study on something like that. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. That's just great, isn't it? There are 6 descriptions of the Word of God. You're hitting it from a little, it's kind of like a diamond. You got a lot of facets. You got to turn it and to look at it and roll it around to get all the facets. Well, that's what you got to do with God's Word. It has so many different wonderful facets, so many different genres in the Word of God. You get the poetic books of the Old Testament. You got the historical books. We got allegory. We got all kinds of different kind of didactic books. Doctrine, practice. It's amazing what a library we got in the Word of God. So, let's go read a little bit further. Now, what does it do? Well, I've got three things I want to say. This really hit me good hard. There are three words I'm going to use. What about the Word of God? More to be desired other than gold, yea, much fine gold. It's valuable. Beyond measure, the Word of God is valuable. If I had to choose tonight, if they said, okay, Brother Zach, I'm going to give you $1 billion. I could do a lot with $1 billion. I could buy some of these unbelievable cars. I could have an airplane on if I wanted it. I could have a mansion in two different continents if I wanted it. I could do like Elvis used to do. I could even fly an airplane out to California to get my favorite sandwich. Elvis used to do that. But they said, but here's the gimmick. You cannot understand or enjoy God's word. You got to have your choice. Now, unless the devil really got a hold of me, that would be a hard choice. Take it all away from me. Just get that stuff out of here. I mean that. I believe you mean it too. If you don't, you ought to. Let that stuff go. Because all that other stuff, we brought nothing to this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out. And none of that really helped me when the going gets rough. When I lose a loved one, old Aristotle Onassis, he's a Greek shipping magnate who married Kennedy's wife, Jacqueline. He thought he had it all. He even tried to make it where he was always safe on his yacht. He even had a fully stocked operating room and had a helicopter pad in case anybody got sick that they could fly a surgeon there and do operating. Now, he tried to cover all his bases. His son, Alexander, a good-looking fellow. That's a good Greek name, isn't it, Alexander. I'm sure he thought Alexander the Great. Proud of him. Well, Alexander had a plane crash. It didn't kill him instantly, but it messed him up. And Aristotle Onassis flew in doctors from all over the world. He said, I'll give you millions if you'll cure him. First of all, he wanted his face rebuilt with plastic surgeons. And so the doctor said, Mr. Onassis, we can't do anything. He died. So, and he grieved the rest of his life. That is, his life was over for all practical purposes. So I'm telling you, what we need is the Word of God. The martyrs had the Word of God. They died joyful. In Hebrews 10 says they endured joyfully the spoiling of their goods. So tonight, if we can enjoy and appreciate God's Word because we've been born again, hallelujah, and we love the Word of God. Sometimes not mean as much to us as it should, but it's always there. And sometimes the Holy Spirit really works on us. So anyway, it's valuable. So you may think you're poor tonight, but you're not poor at all if you have God's Word in your heart. Let me read you a few verses to talk about the value of the Word of God. This is in Psalm 119. All these verses will come from there. 119, 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. That'd be kind of fun to find great spoil, wouldn't it? You might remember I forget the name of the book now. Y'all know what it was. The Count of Monte Cristo. Man, he found a treasure trove on some island, and he got to be as rich as he could be. Count of Monte Cristo. So I bet he rejoiced finding a great spoil. Sometime maybe somebody land on an island, some pirate's been there. Man, all this gold, you just go through it. It's kind of like that old duck guy, you know, Donald Duck's. I don't get what that was. Remember? He'd go swimming in the gold, all that. But he said that David said, I rejoice at thy word, at one that findeth great spoil. Then verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. And verse 127, same psalm. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. My friend, we're rich tonight. We're really rich to be able to be here in the house of God and be in our homes and be by ourselves and enjoy the Word of God. So while I'm here, I'm going to finish this out before I finish Psalm 19. I won't be too much longer, but I got three words I want to give you. Hope you'll remember these three words and then show you the practical use, real practical use, as we come to this Word of God. All right. 1 Peter 2:2. You know these very well. I know you do. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. May God give us that kind of appetite. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, we may grow thereby. And then Job was going through a really hard time, as you know. Even though he's going through a hard time, and some of you are going through hard times. We even have prayer for people tonight. But even while Job was in the midst of his troubles, he said in 23:12, Job 23:12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth as more than my necessary food. That's great, isn't it? That's great. The devil is always trying to get us with the word of God. He's working on me all the time. I tell you, as your pastor, I just tell you he does. I win the battle most of the time, but sometimes when I come to eat, while I'm eating, I like to listen to God's word. But sometimes I'm tempted, no, there's a book over here I think I'll do. And it may not be a big sin to get that book every now and then. But I preach to you people that the Bible, the word of God, is the most precious thing on earth. I've got to practice what I preach. And every time I win that battle, which is most of the time, I thank God I did, I get something out of it. I love books, and you do too, history books. But guess who wrote the only book that's perfect? The Lord wrote that book, that's the Bible. Okay, now back to Psalm 19. Let's wind this up. And let me use some. Okay, we'll start down here in verse 10 again. Number one, the word of God is valuable. More to be desired are they than gold, yet they must find gold. Now look at the next expression. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Number two, it's delightful. It's pleasant. So the word of God is not only valuable, it's delightful. More to be desired are they than gold, yet they must find gold. So remember those two. The word of God is valuable, it is delightful. But number three, it is useful. It is useful. Remember those three words. Isn't that great? Okay, the word of God is valuable, it's delightful, and it's useful. So let's look at the useful part. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there's great reward. Isn't that great? That's useful. In keeping of them there's great reward. Well, what's our response? Then it's to go to prayer. It's to go to prayer. That's how it closes out. I tell you, the Holy Spirit, I'm amazed at how the Bible is written. Okay, now we've come to the point that we have seen God in nature. We've seen God in his word. We've seen how valuable it is, how delightful it is, how useful it is, and that leads us to prayer. So we close out with prayer. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. That means things you're not aware of that you're doing wrong. And we all don't want to do that. I'm getting more that way as I get a little older. Lord, help me to not be so stubborn. Because when people sometimes, even with beauty, as good as she is, sometimes I get a little ticked off at her. I'm trying to listen to her more, be honest with you. She may not realize that I am. I really am. And sometimes I say, you know what? I've been an idiot for years. I got to thinking about a few things. Why couldn't I say that earlier? And sometimes God speaks to us through people. So, all right, quit pinching him over. Don't pinch over John. Homie. Okay. So let's ask God to help us. Lord, as I read your word, cleanse me from secret thoughts. Like the one I mentioned Sunday, one of them was last Sunday, is rushing to judgment too quickly. He that hears a matter, I still can't quote that verse. You know what I'm talking about. He who says something about a matter before he really understands it is folly to him. Can you quote that, Andrew, off the top of your head? Can anybody? Huh? That's it. He that answers the matter before he hears it is folly to him. And I'm bad about that. But I'm trying to say, Lord, I'm not going to judge that. I heard that, but I'm going to hold back my judgment until I know more about that situation. So let's keep back thy servant also from presumption. That's the next one. Okay, first of all, cleanse me from secret fault. Then keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Those are sins we know we're doing wrong. We do it anyway. We get the bit in our mouth, and we all have done that. I've been bad about that sometimes, knowing it's wrong, but doing it anyway. So I pray a lot of times, the Lord's Prayer, deliver me from evil. Deliver me from evil. Because God ever turns me over to myself, I can make shipwreck of the faith. That's how much sin I got in me. I can make, even at my age, I used to think I was out of the, I said, well, I got it made now. Whoo! I'm just about to cross the finish line here, and I've got it made. Then I found some men older than I am who really messed up and ruined everything. And I just got scared and said, you know, you better watch it, Zach. You better keep a close watch on yourself. All right? Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, that they'll not have dominion over me. Then I shall be upright. I shall be innocent of the great transgression. Then this very famous verse, I know you all know it, but how powerful this is. How minute this is. I don't know what word to use. I don't have a great vocabulary tonight, but just how, look at this. Let the words of my mouth, not just my actions. We all think about actions. Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, what I'm thinking about, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Isn't that a great way to end that psalm? It's amazing, isn't it? So you see why I got happy the other morning? I'm glad God gave me that. So, man, I can't believe this, Lord. You've written this thing such a wonderful book. So again, remember the word of God is valuable, it's delightful, and it's useful. It leads us to prayer. And don't forget now, what God wants us to know is he's a great creator. So we're going to sing a song. You know it. So you have to help. Let me do it myself a little bit. And then I want y'all to join me. I didn't have time to print this out. I couldn't find it on the internet, so I had to kind of remember it. Oh, Lord, our Lord. If you know it, sing it with me now. We'll do it quiet. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent your name is. How excellent your name in all the earth. Your glory fills the heaven beyond the farthest star. How excellent your name in all the earth. When I think about the heaven, the moon and all the stars, I wonder what you ever saw in me. But you took me and you loved me and you've given me a crown. And now I praise your name eternally. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent your name is. How excellent your name in all the earth. Your glory fills the heavens beyond the farthest star. How excellent your name in all the earth. Oh, let's do that one.